To Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. God, speak to us, and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want to ask you tonight, excuse me just a minute, my nose is still running. I'll catch it in a little while. But man, I tell you, I've been sick and cold. I'll be glad when this is all over with. Sun comes out and it gets about 80 or 90 degrees, and man, it's just, I'm just living for that moment. Or Christ comes back and takes us home, and there won't be any more pneumonia, runny noses, or colds, and all that kind of stuff. It'll just be a great time. Well, what are we in Christ Jesus? What do you have in Christ Jesus tonight? Do you really know who you are? You see, we are, the Bible says, now nobody ever called me Saint Booney, but the Bible says that to the saints who are in Ephesus, and you know what? According to the Bible, we're saints if we have believed and put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the spiritual realm. We have trouble believing that, don't we? We have trouble believing in sometimes the goodness of God towards us. Why is God so good to me? I heard someone, I told them one day that they was a saint, and they said, I just can't believe it. And I said, well, whether you believe it or not, that's what the Bible says we are. And it's probably because the way we live, we feel so unworthy of God's love. We feel like we're not holy enough to be children of God or sincere enough for God to bless us with all the things that he's blessed us with. But I want you to know tonight, you really are beloved in Christ. He loves you. And we are saints in Christ Jesus. Now, we find here in this passage of Scripture characteristics of who we are tonight in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're lost. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. If you're lost tonight, my prayer is that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before you leave this place tonight. But in Christ Jesus, we are saints. Paul addresses us as saints in Christ Jesus. They're commonly called saints. The Greek word hagios, meaning holy, is where it comes from. So God, in God's perspective, we are saints, not because of our righteousness. There's nothing good about us, are there? Nothing good. But because of what his Son, Jesus Christ, did for us, he looks at us and sees us righteous. We are righteous tonight. Righteous because Jesus Christ died on the cross. You see, it is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God and his love for us. And it's because he died on the cross that God says we are righteous. 2 Corinthians 5, listen to this passage of Scripture, 5:21. God made him, talking about Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, if you let that statement sink into your head a little bit, you read about it, and you think about what it says, God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. He died on the cross for our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him or through him. Now, that's a great statement if you consider who we are. Without Christ, we would be lost. Without Christ, we wouldn't have a chance in a million ever to go to heaven. Without Christ, we wouldn't have all the things that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of people do not understand what they are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, they don't realize how blessed they are. But the Bible says here, one of the characteristics of a Christian, one of the characteristics of a saint of God is that you and I are significant. We're somebody. We play an important role. You see, when Christ died, the Bible says, he paid the penalty that I could never pay or you could never pay. And he died there, and when he died there, he put to death that old self life, our old self life. Now, how do we attain that or get that? Simply when we surrender. When we surrender to Jesus Christ, give our lives to him, our life in exchange, his life in exchange for our life, the Bible says. And he literally becomes our life. I love what Paul says. For me to live is Christ. For me to live my life now in Christ is Christ. And we live by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we live day after day after day. We live our life by faith. We trust him by faith. We move by faith. We're controlled. Our life ought to be controlled by Jesus Christ through faith. He is in us, the Bible says, and we are in him, and his righteousness is made ours. And when God looks at him, he sees, when God looks at us, he sees his son, Jesus Christ. And he knows that if we are in him, then we are significant. You're so important tonight. You know, you're a child of God. He predestined you. Even before the foundation of the world, he called you. Now, that's significant. In Christ, we are somebody. Now, out of Christ, we're lost. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 talks about our position. Listen to what it says. If then you have been raised up with Christ, if you've been born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, and I suppose most of you here tonight have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, keep seeking, it says, those things above. So what is it telling us? Well, if I'm in Christ, I am supposed to seek the heavenly things in life. I don't seek things for myself. I'm not to seek things here on earth. I'm to seek things that are in heaven, the heavenly things. What's the heavenly things? Well, I think it's the characteristics of Christ that we ought to have, love, goodness, and things like that. We ought to seek those things in our life. It says, seek those things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And it says, set your mind. Set your mind. That word set means to focus in, have a desire with our mind on the things of God. Folks, if we're seeking things of God here in this life, we're only going to want the best for people, aren't we? We only want to do what's good for people. We only want to do the things that are pleasing to God, not the things on earth, it says. The earth seeks its own. The earth says, get ahead and grab all you can and support yourself before anybody else. Don't do for anyone else. Do for yourself. If you're going to make it in the world, you've got to make it yourself. Everything the world does is all about self, but Christ died for that we might give our life to him and crucify old self. And he says, now since you've been raised up with him, seek the things above, not on the earth. For you have died, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Now, that's our life. Whether you believe it or not, you have a treasure in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, it says, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I thank God that I know Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight that even though this world may think that we're insignificant, the Bible says we're somebody special. It doesn't matter if you are a preacher of a great big church or you're out there scrubbing the floors in a church. The Bible says you are important to God. If you're doing the will of God, if you're centered your life in the will of God, and you're doing that will of God in your life, what He's designed for you to do, then you ought to be happy. We talked about this morning in our Sunday school lesson about the things we do and things we are. Well, we are significant in Christ Jesus, and Christ sees us as saints. Therefore, we ought to live our life as saints. Now, that's your position of significance in life. You have been crucified with Christ. Not only that, it goes on to say here, I love this passage of Scripture. Of all the Scriptures that I learned through the Bible, Ephesians 1:3 is one of my favorite passages of Scriptures that I learned. It simply says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now, the Bible says He's blessed us. We are sufficient. That blessing is sufficient. Some people say, preacher, I hope you'll pray a blessing on me. Well, God has blessed you already. Old friend of mine, Dan Rankin, he says when you're saved, God gives you everything He's going to give you right there. You've got to live it, and you've got to claim it. See, he says He has blessed us. Not that He one day, if you live according this and this and this and this, He's going to bless you. No, it says He has blessed us. It's already done. Now, the reason we don't receive those blessings is, like I said this morning, we don't live according to God's will in our life. We're not obedient to God in our life. But you know what? When we're living according to God's will, and the purpose for His will is for us to live that way, He has already blessed us. You can count the blessings. Not only that, with every spiritual blessing, not just a few, but like he said, every spiritual blessing. It is not a promise. It's a current reality in our life, folks. If we'll ever learn this truth, it'll make a world of difference in our life. You'll never walk in that truth, though, until you know it in your heart, until you grab it in your heart. That God has already blessed us. You are a child of God. You're a child of the King. It may not look like it, but you are. And if you're not living for Christ, then you need to start living for Christ, because in Christ, you have all those blessings that you'll ever need in life. And it will make you, it'll make your life really a joy to live. It'll make it a blessing in your life. In Christ, we have sufficiency. I told somebody one time, you know, I'm rich. I am rich tonight. I am rich in Christ Jesus. There's not a thing that I need that He hadn't already provided. He has all the resources in life, and they're already deposited at my account. Now, isn't that wonderful to know? God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He's already blessed you. Those resources are there. The trouble is, we haven't grasped that truth in our life. And it's, someone said, what if someone secretly deposited $500,000 in your bank account down there and you didn't know about it? And all your days you went around thinking, well, I wish I had some money. I'm poor. And when before you died, you found out that all these years you lived at poor, you had over $500,000 down there in the bank. Now, you would feel kind of sad, wouldn't you? Real sad, I would. I'd say, man, I feel, you know. But you know what? That's the way it is in our Christian life, in reality. God says, listen, I have blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're already yours there. But you're not using them. They're in your deposit, but you're not living like it because we haven't grasped that truth. And we're not living our life like Christ would want us to live our life. He says we need to live in Christ. We need to walk according to the way Christ walked in our life. But we don't want to do that. We're worried about, can we make it from one week or the next? Or can we do this? Or can we be satisfied with this? You know, I wonder sometimes, we're never satisfied, are we? We always think, well, if I can just get this, I can get that, I can get that, I'll be happy. But when we get something, we always want one more, don't we? I'm always wanting one more rifle, one more gun. Rhonda says one day, when are you going to get enough rifles? I don't know. I haven't got there yet. You know, you always want one more. But we ought to be satisfied with what we have, shouldn't we? And I'm preaching to myself, too. I have come to realize that, you know, I can't shoot them all, not at one time. So you really don't do no good having so many. But, you know, God says we have all spiritual blessings. I am somebody in Christ. If you are somebody in Christ, you're significant. He is sufficient to meet every need you have. We ought not be complaining. We ought to live with a purpose in our life. You know, I think if we'd be satisfied sometimes with what Christ has already given us and use what we already have and what we know we have, then we'd be more satisfied to get out there and do the work that He sent us to do. Somebody said, well, I don't know how to witness. Yes, you do. You're just not using what God has given you. You see, you know how to tell people about Jesus Christ. All you have to do is share with them your life, what He's done in your life. And if He hasn't done anything, maybe you need to reexamine your life and see. Everybody's got a testimony of what you were one day and what you have become since Christ. That's the testimony that we need to share. Well, not only that, it says here that He's blessed us, we have sufficiency, but also we have security. Just as He has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure. You know, we are secure. I don't know about you, but years ago, when we, in Recklaw, we had to make up our own games. We had to do our own thing. I don't know what happened with kids getting out and playing on the baseball lot. Y'all like to do that when you're kids? We could have fun just getting out in the front yard with a bat and a ball and playing baseball all day long, running from base to base. Now, you know, the worst part about playing baseball is when you weren't very good and nobody wanted to choose you on their team. I've been there. I've done that. You know, and you say, well, choose me. These little kids, they want to be chosen, don't they? You want to be chosen. That's just human nature. We want somebody to want us. Well, guess what? God chose you. Isn't that great that God chose us? in Christ. And not only that, he has predestined us to become his sons through Christ. God freely bestowed his grace. There's no song that I love any better than Grace, Grace, Marvelous Grace. You know, he gave us that grace. He bestowed it on us in Christ Jesus. I don't deserve it, but he gave it to us. He chose me. And you know what? If nobody else chooses you, you can rely on God. He's chose you. And friends in Christ, we can just rest in our relationship. You know what? I don't have to work my way to heaven. I'm glad I don't, because I fail miserably at it, don't you? I'm so glad I'm not trying to work my way there. I'm so glad it doesn't take a whole lot of money to get there, because I couldn't buy my way there. I'm so glad that God chose me in his grace, and he gave it to me, and we are secure in him. Nothing can take that away from us. Some translations say we are accepted in the beloved. In other words, we are his. We are in Christ Jesus. And our security doesn't rest upon whether or not we have a big church, whether or not we go to church, whether or not we live a good life. Our security rests upon our relationship in Christ Jesus. Now, what's your relationship? Now, I said that, and I say, you don't have to go to church, but in Christ, you want to go to church, don't you? I can't think of a longer week than last week. I told Rhonda early this morning, man, I got to go to church. I got to get back up there. I called Brother Roy the other night. Brother Roy is my pastor over at Gresham, and we've stayed in contact every year. He says, I don't love him unless I want a deer cleaned or something, but I still think about him, and he thought about me last night and called. And, you know, I said, man, I got to preach Sunday morning. He says, can't you get off? I said, yeah, I guess I could get off, but I don't want to. I want to preach up there. I want to get back in, because the week is so long, isn't it? Isn't that the way you feel? Man, when I miss a church service, it feels like a long week or a month. And since we didn't get to come Wednesday night, man, Sunday night, you know, I started just coming up here by myself just so I could be in church. But, you know, it was bad. But we are his, and our relationship rests upon Jesus Christ. It was God who chose us. It was God who called us. And he's called us to be his sons and daughters. You see? And he's freely bestowed all that on us. And his grace makes us a part of his family. I don't know about you, but I have a great family. My family is, our family is close as I want to be. I got two wonderful brothers and a wonderful sister. And sometimes they get on my nerves and sometimes I get on theirs. And it's probably good that I live up here and they live down there. But, you know, I know if I need anything, I know if I need help with something, I can call on them. I know that they'll help in any way that they can. They always have, and I've always jumped to help them when they need. You know, some families are not like that. But not only have I been blessed there, I've got a wonderful church family. I tell you, you're a blessing to me. When I need something, I can call on anybody in this church. I feel like I can. You know, I had one lady volunteered to preach tonight or this morning. I told her I'd have to anoint her with oil, but next time she might do that, she said. And I let her off the hook this morning. But, you know, you can call on just about anybody. I called on Perry Wednesday night late, and he said, or whenever I called, and he said he'd be glad to. You know, you can call on people to help you. I've had people out there I never will forget. Had a guy, Brother Bob Justice, he's always willing to help. That last year when I was sick, woke up at 7 o'clock, he's out there mowing the yard. I said, Brother Bob, I appreciate it, but man, you woke me up. But you know, that's great that people jump in to help you when you're sick or something's going on. If you just need help, this is a great church family. And folks, I thank God for that. But I've got also a great heavenly family. In Christ Jesus, we are children of God. And friends, God loves me. He loves me. And He has accepted me. And there's nothing that you can do for God not to love you. You know, He loves you and He loves you. And you may want to make Him love you more, but He already does. You see, He loves you. And God, the Bible says, He doesn't change. So that, you know, He can continue to love you. He loves you, not that you might change Him, but that He might change you. And that's what He does in our life. God changes us. So in Christ tonight, if you read this scripture, think about this. You are significant. You are sufficient in Christ Jesus. And you are secure in Christ Jesus. You could say, if you read this scripture, in Christ, in His righteousness, you are rich and you are received. Isn't that good to know? I have His righteousness, so therefore I am rich in Christ and I am received in Christ. And I'm a saint and you're a saint in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And folks, tonight we have to rely on God's resources, not our resources. And we have to rest in the relationship that we have with Him. And nobody can ever take that away from you because you are hid in Christ. So tonight, if you look at this passage of Scripture, remember, three characteristics of your life ought to be: one, that you are significant. You are a child of God tonight. So live like a child of God. So many Christians tonight call themselves Christians, are not living according to the way the Bible says. Live that kind of life. And you'll find, if you'll live that kind of life for Christ, you'll find you have everything sufficient to make it through this world. You'll come through it shouting with glory. You'll come through it victoriously. Watch, too many people that's went that way, and they've came victoriously because they rested in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, they were secure in Christ Jesus. There's nothing better than going to a born-again believer's funeral and standing there knowing that that person was secure in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to worry where they're at. We know where they're at. Somebody said the other day, how many funerals do you preach? And I said, over 250-something. I quit counting at 250-something. But you know what? A lot of those I couldn't say with surety, that person's in heaven. But oh, the ones that I knew beyond a doubt because they lived the Christian life, man, those are great funerals. They're really celebrations of life, truly. And I hope tonight, if you died, that we could come here tomorrow or Tuesday and celebrate your life because we know where you're at. And you ought to live that kind of life. You ought not have to worry about it because it is coming. So rest assured that you're significant in Christ Jesus. Now, if you've never been saved, you've never given your life to Christ, then there's no surety there at all. There's no blessings there. So would you come tonight if you've never been saved? Would you come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you are secure, then live for Him. And if you're not living for Him, the altar is open just to you to come down here and say, Lord, tonight I want to get my life right. I want to start living for You. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight